The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Oh, by the way, if no man can speak on abortion, we need to reverse Roe v. Wade. It was decided by 9 men.
What the UN and what the Framework Convention on Climate Change want us to do is to adopt energy policies that impoverish and trap people in poverty.
Because the Lutheran Church is not defined by Luther's statements. The Lutheran Church is defined by the Lutheran confessions.
And so when you separate the work of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit from the waters of baptism, then you open yourself up to the false teaching of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement that you can be a Christian but not have the Holy Spirit.
New Hampshire shepherdesses love to listen to Issues, etc.
The Old Testament prophet Daniel, we know the Bible stories from the first half of that book. Daniel in the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their adventures in refusing to engage in idolatry. The second half of the book introduces us to Jesus. He's called the Son of Man, and he's found there in a number of visions and hinted at in a number of things that Daniel the prophet saw. How should we understand the Old Testament prophet and his message? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be in our series Through the Old Testament in a Church here with Dr. Ken Sherb talking about the prophet Daniel. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us for part 15 of our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About Suffering. Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of Evangelism and Missions, Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Remind us of what we said last time.
Last time we were talking about the ministry of the prophet Ezekiel, and that ministry was entirely executed in Babylon during the exile. And we dwelt a bit on the particular prophecy, one of the most beloved passages in the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord said that instead of the faithless shepherds that his people had been having, he himself would now take over and really be their shepherd. And before that prophecy was over, the Lord added that he would set up over them one shepherd, his servant David. And that, of course, was referring to the Son of David, who was also God himself, the Messiah, the Christ. That's the one who went from simply repeating Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," to saying, "I am the good shepherd."
We have yet another major prophet to meet today. That would be Daniel. What should we say about him?
Well, Daniel was one of the first deportees the Babylonians took from Jerusalem all the way back in 605 BC. At that time, Daniel was a bright and promising young man who, in fact, became a great and very highly placed civil servant, first for the Babylonians, later for the Persians. He had also three pious friends who were similarly trained to serve the Babylonians. Think of it this way. In Babylon, the Lord was using Ezekiel to minister to the exiles from Judah on the ground, as it were. And meanwhile, the Lord had Daniel within the bureaucracy in a position to do good for the exiles, eventually as a high-level statesman. But that close to the center of Babylonian power and ideology, Daniel and his friends were among the first to find out, firsthand, just what happened when government orders clashed with their most holy faith. The Babylonians threw Daniel's friends into the fiery furnace, and later the Persians put Daniel himself into a den with lions. More on that next time. The Lord miraculously rescued Daniel and his friends, and he also gave Daniel visions to encourage him and others like us in facing such situations. Today, we're going to hone in on the very center of the book of Daniel and its most important single passage, which is part of one of Daniel's visions.
Here it is, verse 13 of Daniel 7. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Talk about where this appears in Daniel's prophecy.
Well, that section you just read, Todd, is a part of the vision that Daniel had in chapter 7. Now, the book of Daniel is short, 12 chapters, but it has two characteristics that kind of leap out right away at a reader, well, at least a reader of the original language, because the book of Daniel was written in two languages. It's Hebrew in chapter 1 and chapters 8 through 12, but it's Aramaic in chapters 2 through 7. And the other striking thing about Daniel is that its first half, chapters 1 through 6, is narrative, while the second half, chapters 7 through 12, consists of accounts of various visions. So, chapter 7 is the last chapter in the Aramaic part of the book, and it's the first chapter in the part of the book that describes visions. It's like the very way the book is put together draws attention to this chapter, kind of an X marks the spot, if you will. And by the way, I owe this insight to my friend Dr. Andy Steinman from Concordia University, Chicago. Chapter 7 of Daniel is set up to be the place in the book where something really important figures to appear.
And it's here that Daniel mentions the Son of Man.
Yeah, this is a Son of Man, one like a Son of Man, Daniel says, appearing before the Ancient of Days. Now, the Ancient of Days was described a little earlier in the chapter as seated on a fiery throne, clad in white clothing with hair like pure wool, and thousands serving him and many more standing before him for judgment. The Son of Man is presented before the Ancient of Days and is given dominion and glory and a kingdom, an everlasting dominion and indestructible kingdom. We've seen prophecies like this before. The Son of Man is human, yet has divine qualities. This is a prophecy of Christ appearing before God the Father, called here the Son of Man.
Well, Jesus, during his three-year ministry, often called himself the Son of Man.
Sure, and there's a lot to that term when Jesus used it in referring to himself, but it certainly says, Son of Man, that he is human. Well, earlier on in Daniel 7, there had been four dreadful, fearsome beasts, but the Son of Man comes as a human being. He comes as one of us. Yet, though this Son of Man is one of us, there's something different about him in Daniel 7. He does not come from the sea, where the beasts came from, nor does he come from the land. He comes on the clouds of heaven. He receives power and worship that should only be for God, since Christ is the man who is also God.
Just to be clear here, Ken, from all eternity, the second person of the Trinity has divine power and is worthy to receive divine honor and glory, right?
Oh, yeah. But furthermore, as the man who is also God, from the first moment the Word became flesh in the incarnation, he had the divine glory and honor and all of that according also to his human nature. But Daniel 7 tells of a time when the Son of Man was given kingdom and power and glory. There's a similar passage in Revelation. It's in chapter 5 that says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Well, of course, Jesus is the Lamb who was slain. He placed himself before God as a sin offering for the world. God raised this once sacrificed one, and thus showed that the offering had been fully made. And then Jesus ascended into heaven. Like Revelation 5, Daniel chapter 7 seems to describe Ascension Day from sort of a heavenly point of view. Now, looking at this event from an earthly point of view, Jesus ascended, and the apostles saw him eventually hidden from their sight in the clouds, but then he appeared, so to speak, in heaven to receive kingdom and power and glory. And he richly deserved all of that because he had done the saving work of living and dying for us and then rising again. He earned the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And perhaps most surprising of all, he gives the kingdom to us. He shares it. This section in Daniel went a little bit beyond what you read there, Todd, to say, "The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever." Daniel tells us about Christ with an emphasis on forever.
Give us your true and false review.
True or false? Jesus, calling himself the Son of Man in the Gospels, goes back to this passage in Daniel 7. True. The Son of Man is human, but has an everlasting dominion the kind only God has. True or false? Daniel 7 gives a description of Christ's ascension from a heavenly point of view. True. And in that way, it resembles Revelation chapter 5. The Son of Man appears before the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. Christ appears before God the Father and is given kingdom, power, and glory. True or false? When we say in the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory," all these things are appropriate to say to Christ who taught the prayer, as well as to our Father who art in heaven. And that's true. In Daniel 7, these things are said of Christ, the Son of Man.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And he's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. More on Daniel next time.
When we come back, suffering will be the subject with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, and we'll find out what he wants his non-Lutheran family to know about it.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue trekking through St. Mark with Death of the Baptist Part 2, Feeding of the 5,000 Parts 1 and 2, Jesus Walks on Water, and Healings at Gennesaret. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Have you ever attended a funeral and not known what to say? Or perhaps you did think of something to say and it was the wrong thing to say? Funerals are a regular part of life. As you age, they become even more common as your friends and family members pass through the veil of death. The September issue of the Lutheran Witness will help you think through funerals, your own and the others you attend. It will guide you through what to say at a funeral and how to plan your own. To purchase a copy, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more about the Lutheran Witness, visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the divine service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.